comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. Now originating from somewhere on Earth and broadcasting to everywhere on Earth. Now, those who are members of our members area received insider updates last week informing them that there was a move that was going to happen. Well, it happened, and I must tell you, it was a real race against the clock. Tonight, I am many hundreds of miles from Phoenix, Arizona. Travel time was in excess of 24 hours, and then there was the fun of setting up the studio in the new location. And as a matter of fact, that has occupied most of my time all day today. And I finished getting everything set up and hooked up and tested out just before showtime. So, while I fully expect that everything's going to work just fine tonight, I am not foolish enough to believe that everything will work just fine tonight. I hope it will. But be a little bit tolerant and understanding if we have some technical glitches tonight, because when you move all of this studio equipment and then you hook it all back up, you have to get everything back in sync with each other again. And hopefully, well, sometimes it takes a little while for it to settle back down. Hopefully, we've got it all worked out, and everything will be as it should be tonight. I've been receiving emails from people trying to find out, well, where did you go? And, you know, where is the new studio? I will let the cat out of the bag. There's a huge, huge, huge secret that NASA has never, ever, ever let out. And I'm going to reveal it to you tonight. You are familiar with Mars. You know that what you know is that there are two moons of Mars, Phobos and Deimos. And what they've never let out of the bag is that there is a third moon. It is called Kevinus. And I have moved the studio to this third moon of Mars, Kevinus, because I want to be there nearby, close, so that when some other space agency beats NASA in getting a man on Mars, I want to interview whoever that may be. Looks like it may be the Russians and the Chinese working together. That may be who gets there. But if NASA does show up first, I'll interview them. Whoever shows up first, I'm close by, and I'll be able to do a live interview with the first astronauts to make it to Mars. I'll stay on Kevinus and not go down to Mars right now, because that would mean I was the first. And I don't want to be the newsmaker. I'll just interview the newsmaker when he gets there. We'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
Under the radar, Some of the music used on this broadcast is provided by the independent artists at music.podshow.com.
Join the Kevin Smith Show members area and get it all. For just 23 cents per day, the universe is yours.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's going to be open line tonight in just a moment, and it'll be a BYOT open line. That means bring your own topic. I do have a couple of things to share with you before that, but we will be doing Bring Your Own Topic Night, and those are always fun, always instructive. We always get a lot of information from folks that way. Because you have things that you're thinking about, things that are important to you, and none of us can think all the thoughts there are to think, and so when you share them with us, we all grow, and that's a good thing. A couple of things before we do that. First of all, there's not a new look here in the studio. It is simply an incomplete look. We focused on getting the equipment set up, installed, cabled up, tested out. And so you realize that normally we have a black backdrop, and will tomorrow, but we were just too busy to worry about the cosmetics today. But we'll get that done. And then those of you that are upset and disturbed because it looks different can ease off and relax a little bit because it'll be back to normal. Also, because of this move to Kevinus, what we've had to do is, because I had no idea if we could get this done this quick. I mean, that's quite a major move, you realize. But I didn't know if we could get it done this quickly. And so, consequently, we will have more open line shows tonight, I mean this week, than we normally do. We do have some guests lined up, and it'll be fun, but we will also have more open line shows and directed topics, some of them. But tonight is not a directed topic show. It's going to be Bring Your Own Topic, BYOT. Before we do that, though, I want to share something with you, and it's something that perhaps you will want to discuss. And I want to give it to you so you'll have it to discuss. Dr. Norman Berggren, several years ago, back in 1986, wrote a book called The Ringmakers of Saturn. Some of you have it, some of you have read it, and you are impressed with it. It's quite a book. And now, Dr. Berggren, oh yeah, there is one other change here, and that is I'm wearing different headphones tonight, and they don't hang on quite as tightly as I wish they would. So I may be fidgeting with those tonight. Just overlook it, and we'll move on. Dr. Norman Berggren wrote this book about these gigantic spaceships of some kind out in the rings of Saturn doing some fantastic work in Ring A of Saturn. Well, Dr. Berggren, of course, was and is a noted space scientist with credentials miles long, and some of his writings about these ringmakers of Saturn were just ignored, not commented on. It's just sort of shrugged off by the establishment mushroom scientists, including some at NASA. So I'm going through the internet looking for things for us to discuss, and I came across this story that was filed, that was published on Friday, the 9th of July. So this is very recent. This is just from this past Friday. And here's the headline. NASA spots giant propellers in Saturn's rings. Well, naturally, that caught my attention, and so I read it. I'll give you the gist of this. You can find it on the internet. And it's a good article. It's written by Emma Woolcott. And it's good. It's a good article. But of course, she is reporting based on whatever NASA's telling her about this, right? Okay, so here's the deal. Cassini spacecraft, which of course is up there really buzzing around Saturn doing all kinds of fantastic science. It's a phenomenal mission. Well, Cassini discovered some things. And what they are reporting on here is actually, and this is interesting, it was actually discovered in 2006. You're just now getting to hear about it, but it was discovered in 2006. Reported July the 9th, 2010. How is that for getting the news out to you in a timely fashion, folks. And that is not the fault of Emma Willicott. That would be because NASA didn't release this information till now. So that is what I call real speedy reporting to the press. Anyway, they discovered what they're saying is a class of, and it's in quotes, it says moonlets, little moons. So it says a class of moonlets was discovered to be clearing propeller-shaped areas in Saturn's dense outer A ring. Now, there's a photograph that goes with the story, and for those who are watching on our TV channel, you're seeing the photograph, and what we're seeing are the rings of Saturn. We're seeing that, and there's something big in the rings of Saturn. So, what is it? Well, they say these moonlets are clearing out propeller-shaped areas in the rings of Saturn. Well, I've read a couple of versions of the story. This article, I think, is the best written. But the propeller features are said to be several thousand kilometers long and several kilometers wide. All right? Now, if that's a hole in the A ring, I've got a big question. For those who are watching on our TV channel, they can now see that I'm about to highlight something, and that is a very huge shadow being cast by this hole in the A-ring. How is that possible? Does a hole cast a shadow sideways from the hole? But this looks like it's thousands, the shadow looks like it may be thousands of kilometers in length, or, you know, depending on the size of that structure that we see. So, you know, what's the deal there? What is this thing? Well, you got to ask NASA a question, and it goes like this. Hey, NASA, does Dr. Norman Berggren ring any bells for you? Dr. Berggren, as I said earlier, wrote this book about these things that are working in the rings of Saturn. And he wrote that book and published it in 1986. Those who are watching now on our TV channel are seeing a photograph of one of the things that Dr. Berggren photographed in the rings of Saturn. Now, that doesn't look like a moonlet. It looks like a craft. It's one of those that we generally, I think, would call a cigar-shaped craft. But there it is. And this book was published in 1986. So I guess the deal is for NASA, well, better late than never, 1986. Look, they finally admitted there are these moonlets in 2006, and you're just now getting to hear about it. When 1986, Dr. Berggren showed us pictures of the things that are making those propeller-shaped structures in the rings of Saturn. So, better late than never, I guess. All right, we're going to go open line tonight. The telephone numbers are as follows. The telephone number here in the studio, the main number, is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. We have a toll-free number in Canada and in the USA. So if you're in Canada or you're in the USA, you can give us a call on either of those numbers. If you're outside of Canada and outside the USA, you may want to you can call us, or you may want to use our flash message feature. located on my website. Go to kevinsmithshow.com and scroll down. You'll see the link that says Flash Message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Not bad. How about yourself?
I'm absolutely exhausted, Bob.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am, really.
Oh, man. Well, this is something that hasn't been touched upon a lot. I might have missed you saying something about it, but I would have thought we would have kind of nailed this like a week ago, so I thought I'd bring it up. What do you think about the new mission of the director of NASA to go to the Muslim lands and tell everybody that they're really good at math and science and make them feel better about themselves, while at the same time NASA is only working on, like, green technology? What do you think about that whole situation, and how disgusting is that, that they would put NASA, a space administration, into making people feel better about themselves? Thank you. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I don't have any feelings about the idea of saying that in terms of going and telling the Muslims that they're really good at science and math. I don't care if they tell the Buddhists. I don't care if they tell the Hindus. I don't care if they tell the Santerians. It doesn't matter to me who they tell it to. The question I have is, what in the heck is NASA? It says National, NASA, National Aerospace and Aeronautics, National Aeronautics and Space Administration. So it's aeronautics and space, not motivation and not green technology. So what you what you're watching, folks, some of you were very critical of me, and that's okay. I don't mind folks being critical of me. When they think I'm wrong, they ought to say so. And some of you did. When I came down hard on NASA under its new mission, I said if they're not going to be in the space exploration business, if they're not going to be sending astronauts out of low Earth orbit and getting on with the task, then they ought to be closed down. I have been a huge champion for NASA. I have been, I have said over and over and over that I think we should double their budget and tell them to get on with the mission. Well, that all changed. That all changed whenever this new NASA plan was laid out for us all. They did get their budget increased, and my question is, and for what? Are they going to research bicycles now? Are they going to research more? Are they doing Toyotas? Are they going to research what's next, Ford? I think NASA at this point is silly. If we're not going to do aerospace and space exploration, and I mean really seriously get out there and do this, if we're not going to do that, close them. We don't need them. We don't need the expense. And, you know, going and telling the Muslims that they're good at science and math, well, it doesn't bother me at all. I'll tell them right now, Muslims, you're good at science and math. Buddhists, you're good at chilling out. And that's a compliment. But I'll tell you that you're good at science and math too. Hindus, you're good at science and math. Okay, well, I've just done NASA's mission now, and it didn't cost a dime. So that's what I think about it. 623-444-5889. Maybe you disagree entirely with what I just said, and you need to put me back in my box. Well, okay. 623-444-5889 is the number to call, or you can call me at 888-223-4599. That's toll-free if you need it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I've been thinking for like a little while now about chupacabras and how in the past decade there have been like lots of reports of them being found.
Yeah.
And I usually feel completely disagreeing with all the bodies that have been found of whatever animals they've been.
Okay, let me make sure I understand before you go on. You disagree that those are chupacabras, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you. I haven't seen a chupacabra in any of those.
And, like, the main reason why I don't believe that is because they look nothing like the descriptions from Puerto Rico, Mexico, all those places.
Mm-hmm. I fully agree with you, Kevin. Now, the skeptics, one of the things that they, not skeptics, debunkers, that's a step beyond skeptic. One of the things the debunkers will say is that these chupacabra sightings are mainly, they're peasant farmers, and they're not biological experts or zoological experts, and, you know, they don't really know. Kevin, my position on that is this. They are farmers. They work with the land, and they work with animals. They live in synchronicity, and their heart beats with the wild world. Now, who are you going to believe most? A book-learned PhD, or the guy that lives out there amongst the animals every single day? I'm going to believe the guy with the animals. What about you?
You're breaking up a whole lot.
All right, thanks for the call. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a caller on hold. And caller, your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Jeff. I'm calling from Montreal.
And your first name?
My name is Jeff.
Jeff.
Montreal.
Okay, Jeff. What's on your mind this evening?
I wanted to know, if you had seen the latest, it was a new UFO documentary called The Day Before Disclosure.
No, I haven't.
Is it
just released?
It must have just been released on YouTube a couple of days ago. I had a chance to watch that last night. And there's another one called The Disclosure Delusion, which I thought was quite good as well. It gave a more of a earthly... I'll turn my radio down here. Gave a more... sinister scenario as opposed to The Day Before Disclosure did. And The Disclosure Delusion focuses on Jacques Vallée and some of his studies indicating that perhaps the ET contacts we're having are not coming from other worlds, but from within our world through demonic ways, I guess. They're using technology and using material ways of contacting us that are evil in its intent. But The Day Before Disclosure was very, very good, and I highly recommend your listeners to check that out on YouTube. And certainly, if you get a chance to, I'd love to hear your comments on it as well.
Okay. Now, between those two, which did you like the best?
That's a tough question. Because I'm Christian, and I'm kind of bent to lean towards the Antichrist sort of explanation for some of what we see. Maybe perhaps not all of it, but The Day Before Disclosure does deal with abduction, but stays away from any sort of drawing any sort of religious connotation to or spiritual connotation to its message.
Mm-hmm.
So I would. It's tough to say, Kevin. I'd say The Day Before Disclosure.
Okay, now let me ask you something. You said you brought it up that you're a Christian. Now, which brand are you? I don't mean which denomination. Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, or do you believe it's mythology?
I just believe in the word of God. I don't even know if I want to say that I would believe in the Bible. I mean, I believe in God. Anything that's written by man or interpreted by man, I get nervous.
Well, let me tell you why I brought that up. Because in the Bible, it does talk about, I mean, that's where we find out about the Antichrist. So we find out about the Antichrist in the Bible, but in those same passages that talk about all of the activity of the Antichrist in what the Bible calls the last days, you also have passages that talk about angels being sent on quite a number of special tasks throughout the world, including as the Antichrist is marking, putting the mark of the beast on the population. There's angels that have been sent to the four ends of the earth to mark those who are followers of God. So you have both angelic as well as Antichrist activity at the same time. How would you tell the difference?
You know, the only way I would be able to tell the difference, based on from the stories or anecdotal evidence that was related in this documentary, was that their intent is demonic. I mean, when they abduct these particular people, these experts are saying that these people have normally had some sort of dabbling in the New Age movement prior to being abducted, which makes them open or more susceptible to abduction than someone, say, who is more grounded, perhaps in their faith. And you know, it bothered me a little bit to hear that, you know, and I had to struggle with that a year ago when I heard someone else say that people who were being abducted were using or exclaiming the word Jesus Christ, and suddenly the abduction experience was over, or was terminated very abruptly after that. And I questioned the guest and said, you know, are you saying that the only thing I can say then when I'm being abducted is to pray in the name of Jesus Christ and not Allah or Buddha, and you know, that won't absolve me from the abduction? She said yes, and I really had a hard time swallowing that. But as the days get stranger and longer with this stuff, and the more I'm inclined to look at this from a religious point of view and say, you know, it's been around for a long time. These people, you know, they take marks, they scoop things from your body, they invade our bodies. Yes, there are positive stories I've heard, but the abductee stories do not sound like these are benevolent angels coming down to do us well. I mean, why would they disguise themselves? Why would they go to great lengths to deceive us on so many levels about so many things? That certainly bodes a few questions.
Well, I would agree with you. However, I will say this: I think a lot of the deceptions are deceptions perpetrated by us on us, by our own preconceived notions of what is an angel and what is a demon.
Okay.
So let me give you an example, and I'm just curious how you would respond to this. What about an abduction? Let's see. This person that gets abducted is forced to eat something, and it makes him sick. And we'll say a hot piece of metal or a hot ember. His mouth is opened, and they put it in his mouth. I don't know. He's so scared, he's paralyzed, he can't move. Would that be an angel or a demon?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I remember seeing an unidentified flying object a couple of years ago, and it didn't frighten me. But what it did was it really made my mind question what I was looking at. It really froze my mind, literally, when I was looking at this object. And I would probably suspect that, besides the normal experience, I think most humans would feel, or a sensation we'd feel, would be fear. That's the normal sensation when someone encounters something they don't understand or can't acknowledge or couldn't comprehend. And I'm sure, unless an angel came down and with wings and a big button that said angel, yeah, I'd probably be very frightened as well.
Well, see, the reason I asked is I'd like to know if that person was you and that happened to you, would you interpret that as an angel or a demon?
I would probably have to say a demon, because I would just make the assumption that anything that is of good does not have to come in and invade me in the middle of the night, paralyze me, fill me with fear, and do something that would be against probably my will if I was in a cognitive state to have a choice. So I would say that it would be demonic.
Well, I would not disagree with you, because I think anybody that makes me do something against my will, I'm going to interpret them as not being good. And yet, that story, that example that I gave you, is the encounter between a prophet and an angel in the Old Testament. That's exactly what happened, according to that story. And that's why I said, I don't know how we would be able to tell, is this a demon or is this an angel? And I think if people are of the mindset to believe that there are angels, and if they're of the mindset to believe that there are demons, at that point you have to be really careful about how you identify them, because they both make you do things against your will.
I'm sure there's probably someone listening who's dying to call you right now, and probably a lot more Christian-based than I would, and say that your faith would be able to be able to discern the two. But I'm not that arrogant. I won't go that far.
Oh, no, and I appreciate you calling. I just wondered how you would respond to it. I would not respond pleasantly to having a hot coal shoved in my mouth.
Yeah, neither, or anywhere else at that matter.
Yeah, yeah, and forcing me to eat something, and then it makes me sick. I'm not going to be too pleasantly disposed with that either. And yet, in the Old Testament, that example is there, that story is there, and it was an angel. Hey, listen, Jeff, I appreciate the call. Are you a first-time caller?
No, Kevin, you and I have spoken on a couple of occasions a couple of years ago on several shows, and happened to be tuning in again, and I'm so grateful that you're there, and I'll be tuning in a lot more.
Thanks.
Really appreciate your time.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889 is the main number here. It is BYOT night. That means bring your own topic, and we'll talk about whatever it is on your mind, as long as it's within our genre. Of course, you know, we don't talk about auto mechanics. We don't talk about Aunt Susie's best recipe for German chocolate cake. It's not a cooking show. It's not a how to repair your home show. But within our genre of the strange and unexplained, we'll talk about anything that's on your mind. You know, so far, each call has brought up something really interesting. But I want to go back just for a second to something that Kevin in Beaverton said, and want you to think about it, because some more of you may have a comment on this. You know, all of these pictures that are coming up now where people say, oh, we've captured a chupacabra, here's the dead body of a chupacabra, and none of those look like the descriptions given by the people that have seen them. What do you think about that? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Tony from Denver.
Hi, Tony.
I wanted to talk to you about that UFO over the Chinese airport.
Yeah.
Closed down.
Mm-hmm.
Some in China are saying that it was a display of India's Air Force capabilities to scare the Chinese. And then there's a couple other things, too. I mean, I saw some of the photos that kind of look like that blue beam that you showed the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Over the oil rig?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about both of those, Kevin?
Well, I'll tell you. I saw those comments about it was India's Air Force. Have you ever taken a look on the internet either YouTube or look at just images of China's best Air Force, best airplanes. Have you ever taken a look at that?
No.
Well, China has some very, very advanced aircraft. And I think if this was India's advanced aircraft over China, it would have been shot down.
Plus, they say it just vanished all of a sudden.
That's what they say. And, you know, maybe it is anything's possible. It's possible that India has developed a Klingon ship that they can cloak. I don't think so. I really don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because India, though they are very scientifically advanced, lost a satellite at the moon and asked for help from the Americans and Russians to find it. Do you want to hang on through the break?
No, I'll open the phone line for someone else, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic Night, here at the Kevin Smith Show in our new studio on Kevinus, the third moon of Mars. And yes, it's true that we do not have our black backdrop behind us tonight, but we only just arrived on Kevinus a little more than 24 hours ago. And we've been very, very busy setting up the studio for tonight's show. And so, you know, we'll get the black backdrop up there, but tomorrow, not for tonight. Now, Tony from Denver asked two questions, and one was about those blue beams that we discussed the other night. We had a debate. I debated Walter Bosley, and some of you said I won the debate, but you think he was right. Well, that means he won the debate. Pardon me, and I think he did. I think he made his case very, very well. But what do I think about those blue beams, because they seem to appear in other photographs? You know, I'm not an expert on these anomalies that appear in with video cameras. Now, we did have someone who is an expert on that called in and made the case for what it is that's causing those blue beams to appear in these videos. And that may be the case. I'll have some more to say about that in just a moment, but let's go to the telephone at the moment and take this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Hey, listen, have you heard about the UFO that they noticed on July the 4th that they've been talking about?
Well, I saw articles about two or three UFOs around the world on July the 4th. Which one are you referring to?
Well, I was down at James Gilliland's ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks Agnew and Michael Lesweth and Dolores Cannon and many, many people quite well known. And on July the 4th, about 9:45 in the evening, they were using fireworks, and all of a sudden, coming from the east, we notice a very bright, bright, about 100 feet above the trees. Looked like a light. At first, we thought it was, you know, fireworks. As it got closer and it was slow, it wasn't. It was a UFO. It was very close. Everyone saw it. It was just incredible.
So you saw it?
Oh, yeah. I sure did. And this that was just one of many.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, we had another huge showing, and we also had a response.
What kind of a response? What do you mean by that?
Okay, well, James kind of, they use light lights, you know, like the infrared lights they have, you know, that you can shine in the sky.
Okay.
And you, the UFOs go over the mountain, like, on a regular basis, and you know it is, because I had my night vision out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see them quite clearly. And one was I'd say northeast of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a distance, and James put his pointer out, and he kind of used SOS type of trying to contact, and they actually they blinked back at us a few times in sequence. So
was that a little bit exciting for you?
Oh, yeah, it was exciting. I mean, this is not the only time, but, I mean, we've had a number of contacts. I had one last year, and I wasn't disappointed this year either.
So this was not your first time to go to the ranch?
No, this is my third time.
Uh-huh. And all three times you've seen UFOs?
Pretty much. They come in and out of the mountain on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of blink into the mountain and come out of it. There must be a portal of some type. James has looked up there, but he can't find any opening.
So was this the most, for you, out of the three times you've been there, would you say this one was the most spectacular event for you?
The last year comes a close second.
Okay.
Very close second, because they were both extremely close. And they're not metallic ships, they're light ships.
So when you look at them through binoculars or through a telescope, you would not see something that looks like a vehicle. So what do you see, like just a ball of light?
What you do, if you look through a night vision, they're kind of spherical, and they undulate, they kind of spin.
Mm-hmm.
They have a kind of a spin to them, and there's an inside. You can't see completely clearly, but you know there's something inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at somebody else's night vision. It must be quite a high, so I think it's a pair of binoculars. And you could see actually colors like gold and red and blue and purple and orange and pink. And the one we saw on the 4th that was very close to us, it was like bright red and orange, and as it got closer above us, you could see the purple and the blue and the green and the pink and yellow coming through it as well. And then as it passed us by, it just kind of blinked out.
And what was the reaction of the crowd?
Oh, we were just there was about 300 people there total.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine everybody was saying, "Power up!" Oh yeah, people were excited. You know, it was really. It wasn't just seeing it. We all, for whatever reason, we all had like for me, I felt like a vibration coming from it. My girlfriend who came with me this year, she also felt it like a vibration,
mm-hmm.
Energy coming off of it, and you know, very peaceful. You know, it wasn't negative, or you know, you pick up negative energy very quickly. But this was very positive. And Brooks was there too, so he saw it as well.
So you got about 300 people out there, and they all see this. Any chance this is a mass hallucination?
I beg your pardon?
Is there any chance this was a mass hallucination?
You keep on skipping. Your line's not that good. I couldn't catch the whole thing.
Yeah, I'll try one more time. Any chance that this was a mass hallucination?
No, not a hallucination, not at all. No. That would be an impossibility.
Well, Haya, I'm very, very pleased to hear this from you, and I'm glad you called us, and I'm very, very glad you had this experience. I appreciate you sharing it with us. Thank you very much. And I hope you realize that I asked the question, was this a mass hallucination, with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. 300 people seeing the same thing, I don't think that's a mass hallucination. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
This is Tony from Norman, Oklahoma.
Okay, this is Tony Terry.
Yeah, Terry. Well, whatever my name is.
You know, I think it has to be some kind of intervention by extraterrestrials that makes my brain do that. You're the only Tony that I do that to.
I know. Hear you answer other Tonys, and you never screw up with them.
Oh well, yeah. I think you know you call in, and some ET flips a switch, and there it goes. What's on your mind this evening?
I have to stop laughing. I had a little excitement on the 4th of July.
Okay.
I don't know how familiar you are with the Tuttle area.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, it's one of those parts of Oklahoma that can be very, very rural. I mean, there's nothing around.
Okay.
And my brother lives out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhere around 10 to 12, something like that, and I was leaving. And all the outside lights were off. And when you hit the remote on my, to unlock the car, the headlights come on. And I don't look at the car because I know the lights are going to come on. So, you know, why look at the car? Anyway, I was looking a little bit to the left. And just within my field of vision was a gray just standing there looking at me. And I turned just slightly because he was within my field of vision. I looked at it. And it,
Okay, Tony, we have a break taking over. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, hang in there. We'll get back to you in just a moment. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic Night, here at the Kevin Smith Show in our new studio on Kevinus, the third moon of Mars. And yes, it's true that we do not have our black backdrop behind us tonight, but we only just arrived on Kevinus a little more than 24 hours ago. And we've been very, very busy setting up the studio for tonight's show. And so, you know, we'll get the black backdrop up there, but tomorrow, not for tonight. Now, Tony from Denver asked two questions, and one was about those blue beams that we discussed the other night. We had a debate. I debated Walter Bosley, and some of you said I won the debate, but you think he was right. Well, that means he won the debate. Pardon me, and I think he did. I think he made his case very, very well. But what do I think about those blue beams, because they seem to appear in other photographs? You know, I'm not an expert on these anomalies that appear in with video cameras. Now, we did have someone who is an expert on that called in and made the case for what it is that's causing those blue beams to appear in these videos. And that may be the case. I'll have some more to say about that in just a moment, but let's go to the telephone at the moment and take this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Listen, have you heard about the UFO that they noticed on July the 4th that they've been talking about?
Well, I saw articles about two or three UFOs around the world on July the 4th. Which one are you referring to?
Well, I was down at James Gilliland's ranch,
mm-hmm.
Brooks Agnew and Michael Lesworth and Dolores Cannon and many, many people quite well known. And on July the 4th, about 9:45 in the evening, they were using fireworks, and all of a sudden, coming from the east, we noticed a very bright, about 150 feet above the trees. Looked like a light. At first, we thought it was, you know, fireworks. As it got closer and it was slow, it wasn't. It was a UFO. It was very close. Everyone saw it. It was just incredible.
So you saw it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And that was just one of many.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, we had another huge showing, and we also had a response.
What kind of a response? What do you mean by that?
Okay, well, James kind of, they use light lights, you know, like the infrared lights they have, you know, that you can shine in the sky.
Okay.
And the UFOs go over the mountain, like, on a regular basis, and you know it is, because I had my night vision out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see them quite clearly. And one was I'd say northeast of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a distance, and James put his pointer out, and he kind of used SOS type of, like trying to contact. And they actually, they blinked back at us a few times in sequence. So,
was that a little bit exciting for you?
Oh, yeah, it was exciting. I mean, this is not the only time, but, I mean, we've had a number of contacts. I had one last year, and I wasn't disappointed this year either.
So this was not your first time to go to the ranch?
No, this is my third time.
Uh-huh. And all three times you've seen UFOs?
Pretty much. They come in and out of the mountain on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of blink into the mountain and come out of it. There must be a portal of some type. James has looked up there, but he can't find any opening.
So was this the most, for you, out of the three times you've been there, would you say this one was the most spectacular event for you?
The last year comes a close second.
Okay.
Very close, because they were both extremely close. And they're not metallic ships, they're light ships.
So when you look at them through binoculars or through a telescope, you would not see something that looks like a vehicle. So what do you see, like just a ball of light?
What you do, if you look through a night vision, they're kind of spherical, and they undulate, they kind of spin.
Mm-hmm.
They have a kind of a spin to them, and there's an inside. You can't see completely clearly, but you know there's something inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at somebody else's night vision. It must be quite a high, so I think it's up here, binoculars. And you could see actually colors like gold and red and blue and purple and orange and pink. And the one we saw on the 4th, that was very close to us, it was like bright red and orange, and as it got closer above us, you could see the purple and the blue and the green and the pink and yellow coming through it as well. And then as it passed us by, it just kind of blinked out.
And what was the reaction of the crowd?
Oh, we were there was about 300 people there total.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine everybody was saying, "Power up!" Oh yeah, people were excited. You know, it was really. It wasn't just seeing it. We all, for whatever reason, we all had like for me, I felt like a vibration coming from it. My girlfriend who came with me this year, she also felt it, like a vibration,
mm-hmm.
Energy coming off of it. and you know, very peaceful. You know, it wasn't negative, or you pick up negative energy very quickly. But this was very positive. And Brooks was there too, so he saw it as well.
So you got about 300 people out there, and they all see this. Any chance this is a mass hallucination?
I beg your pardon?
Is there any chance this was a mass hallucination?
You keep on skipping. Your line's not that good. I couldn't catch the whole thing.
Yeah, I'll try one more time. Any chance that this was a mass hallucination?
No, not a hallucination, not at all. No. That would be an impossibility.
Well, Haya, I'm very, very pleased to hear this from you, and I'm glad you called us, and I'm very, very glad you had this experience. I appreciate you sharing it with us. Thank you very much. And I hope you realize that I asked the question, was this a mass hallucination, with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. 300 people seeing the same thing, I don't think that's a mass hallucination. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
This is Tony from Norman, Oklahoma.
Okay, this is Tony Terry.
Yeah, Terry. Well, whatever my name is.
You know, I think it has to be some kind of intervention by extraterrestrials that makes my brain do that. You're the only Tony that I do that to.
I know. I hear you answer other Tonys, and you never screw up with them.
Oh, well, yeah, I think, you know, you call in and some ET flips a switch and there it goes. What's on your mind this evening?
I have to stop laughing. I had a little excitement on the 4th of July.
Okay.
I don't know how familiar you are with the Tuttle area.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, it's one of those parts of Oklahoma that can be very, very rural. I mean, there's nothing around.
Okay.
And my brother lives out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhere around 10 to 12, something like that, and I was leaving. And all the outside lights were off. And when you hit the remote on my, to unlock the car, the headlights come on. And I don't look at the car because I know the lights are going to come on, so, you know, why look at the car? Anyway, I was looking a little bit to the left, and just within my field of vision was a gray, just standing there, looking at me. And I turned just slightly because he was within my field of vision. I looked at it.
Okay, Tony, we have a break taking over. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, hang in there. We'll get back to you in just a moment. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is BYOT tonight. Bring your own topic. And I hope still on the line with us is our caller. Our caller is either Tony or Terry from Norman, Oklahoma. And so, Tony, you see this gray, and then what?
It was standing in some fairly tall grass, and within a couple of seconds it turned and went off towards the back of the house, and the way it moved, I still can't get a grip on the way it moved. I don't know,
I've never seen anything move as fast as this was. It didn't vanish. I saw it go away. But how it did it, I can't really describe. And the speed was unbelievable. It was just unbelievable how fast it went. So I went back in the house and got everybody else who was there. There was probably about 10 people in the house. And we all came back outside, turned on the outside lights, and found a path that looked like it had gone through. And that's another thing, as it went through the grass, it was close enough that you should have heard it going through the grass, and I heard nothing. And I guess another one of the weirdest things was they have three dogs, and one is a German Shepherd, and she is a total outside dog, hates to come inside. That dog would not go out. Would not go out. They couldn't drag her out.
So, did you see any UFOs or anything that would sort of indicate where this gray had come from?
No. No craft, no nothing glowing like in the distance, or no indication as to where it came from.
And this was on July the 4th?
Yes.
Well, it sounds like you had something better than fireworks then for July the 4th.
I think so. It was a little bit better.
Made you want to call yourself Terry, didn't it? Tony, thank you for the call. Outstanding. Wow, that's interesting. All right. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello. I was talking to my cousin today, and he lives about 5 miles from me here in Michigan, and they have been drilling oil wells here in Michigan at a pretty good pace within the last 6 months to a year, and they are drilling a mile down, and this is something they didn't do in years past. You know, they didn't go that deep, but they're drilling a mile down, and the oil coming out of it is cream colored.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, the oil they're getting is a cream color from down there.
You know, there is, now you'll have to look this up, you know, Google this, but abiotic oil. It's just the word biotic, but with an A at the beginning. It's abiotic is what it is. Abiotic oil. And this theory is that, and there are some scientists that have signed on to this theory, that oil is not a fossil fuel, but is entirely abiotic. In other words, it's not biotic at all. Whereas fossil fuel would be biotic because it would be the byproduct of the decay of bioorganisms. But this theory says no, it's not. It's abiotic or abiotic, and that it replenishes itself. So that the entire argument that we're reaching peak oil and we're going to run out is specious from start to finish.
Yeah, that's I've been hearing that, but I just was surprised when they told me it was that color, you know, and I was just wondering, I don't know, water mixed with oil can make it that color.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's the deal. Maybe as the oil's coming up, it's getting mixed with water.
Yeah, that could be, and, you know, it's, I don't know, they're just drilling. It surprised me, too, that I didn't know they was drilling that deep right here close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And because they did not do that like a year or two ago. They didn't drill that deep. Now, another thing I had is the, this webcam that they have in the Gulf down at the bottom.
Yeah.
is it possible? I mean, it was what, several weeks to a month before they put that webcam in there.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What if, is there another section to that webcam or something? Maybe they're looking for something coming up from the bottom. I mean, we're getting a picture of that oil. Is that also looking at something else? I mean, is it taking more pictures of than just the oil?
Well, I don't know for sure, but my suspicions would be that they're not going to have just one camera down there for the biggest oil disaster in the history of the world. My suspicion is that they have a lot of cameras down there, and they're looking at a lot of things, and they're showing us the most innocuous of whatever is down there. So we're getting to see the less dramatic. The rest of it is probably classified. And that's just my speculation.
Okay. Now, Kevin, you moved?
Yes, yes. I'm now broadcasting from Kevinus.
Is that still in Arizona?
No, it's the third moon of Mars that NASA has never told anybody about.
Oh. Somebody said that in the chat room, and I thought they were kidding me.
Oh, I'm on Kevinus now. I moved here to make sure that when whatever space agency gets their first man to Mars, I want the interview. So I'm here ahead of the rest of the media.
Okay. All righty. Well, I just didn't know if you had ever heard of that color of oil, because I had not, and it just surprised me. I didn't know if it had something to do with being a mile down and being that color or something of that nature, you know. And
yeah, I don't know. But maybe we have a petroleum engineer listening that can call us and tell us why there's cream-colored oil. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, and just before I get off, you probably others have told you that I just came on. Your phone is breaking quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we just moved a long ways, and so... things have to get settled in a bit.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hang on, caller.
Okay.
Let's try that again. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Tony from Ohio.
Tony from Ohio, okay.
Tony, I think I should get in your credits as your mascot or something.
Why is that?
I don't know. You use my name a lot.
Only when Tony from Norman, Oklahoma calls, and that's just weird. I don't know what the deal is, but I went through a period of time where every time Tony from Norman would call, I write his name down. As people call, look, folks, I've got a notepad here, and when you call in, let's see, you're not going to be able to see it, but... I write the name down, and the reason I write the name down is because I want to be sure that I don't call you something you're not. And I would write his name down, Tony from Norman, and still call him Terry. I don't know why. It was a paranormal event. But I did that a bunch of times.
Yeah, you definitely sound like you're on that moon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I told you, I'm on Kevinus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering, Jerry, he's got, pretty much state-of-the-art equipment, and it's kind of just sitting there, isn't it?
No.
No?
No. Jerry is the executive producer for Expeditions TV, and they do a lot of video production. Some is for Expeditions TV, and some of it is for other people that hire them to do video production. And so, no, he stays busy with it.
Okay. I wanted to you know, shared a little bit concern from your guest Friday, because of you know, he seems pretty quick wit, you know, when you ask him kind of questions, but yet, you know, you can't peg him down, you know. You know, you gotta take it or leave it. I just wondered, you know, if he knows all this stuff, you know, and you know, I just wonder if he could, you know, for the Kevinites, you know, do something that would instantiate what he says he is and knows is for real.
I doubt. I really doubt that he would do that. But, you know, you had the same thing with Edgar Cayce when Edgar Cayce was giving all of those readings, and there are people saying, ah, if that was for real, he could prove it. You had the same thing when Jesus was giving prophecies, and they said, give us a sign. And the prophets never do.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, you know, what he says, I don't know, to me, it ticks me off. You know, if we're an experiment, you know, and they see what's going on down here around this planet, you know, and they're playing games with all these people's lives and, you know, all the misery and everything, you know, if I got up, you know, had a chance to get up to one of them ships, you know, and have my say, you know, I'm sure I wouldn't have much power in, you know, persuasion or ability of kicking butt like I would want to, but, you know.
But you would want to.
I would have some choice words for him, you know, playing games with people's lives like that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, now, don't hang up and run away now.
Okay.
See, you sparked a discussion, so I've got something to throw in here. You have exactly that in the Bible with the book of Job. Because you have God and Satan playing games with Job. And that game included wiping out his family, wiping out his wealth, making him homeless, making him sick so that he had boils all over his body. All of his friends left him. The whole schmear. And it was a game between Satan and God.
Yeah.
A challenge.
It wasn't a game. Satan challenged God that, that he would curse God. You know, and God said no, he wouldn't.
Well, down here we call that a wager.
Yeah.
And we call that a game of chance.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's pretty aggravating. We need a new Clint Eastwood movie too, Dirty Harry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you seen that nice, beautiful new 50 caliber they got out now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you know, that's like shooting a shotgun, you know, with one hand, you know, sawed off shotgun. You can't fire it fast, but you could drop, you know, four or five people standing in a straight line, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, they're powerful. They certainly are. Okay, Terry from Ohio, or Tony from Ohio, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. All right, let's go to the flash message board. We have a flash message from the United Kingdom. Caller, just hang on for a minute. I'll get to you. This is Davey from the United Kingdom. He says, hello, Kevin. Well done for being back in action so soon after such an epic move. Surely, before NASA researches anything new, they should fully research where they have put some 700 boxes of moon tapes. Do you think this supposed loss has anything to do with what current technology could reveal with regard to moon anomalies and so on? Many thanks. I hope you manage to get some rest, Davey. Davey, very astute. That is a very astute observation. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
In Washington.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, what if we've already built bases on the moon, on the backside, You know, they've been able to build some pretty fancy bases here on Earth. Who's to say they couldn't have built a base on the backside of the moon?
Well, you know, we've had some guests on this show over the years who have told us that that's exactly what's happened, that there have been bases built on the backside of the moon, and that may be the case. I don't know. I will say this. If there are bases on the backside of the moon, whoever owns the McDonald's franchise is now very wealthy.
Yeah. Who knows? There might be a Starbucks up there, too. But...
Well, yeah, there could be.
You know, I thought about that, and that's why I called in, because there was a video that somebody posted on the internet, and they're showing all the photographs of the backside of the moon showed obvious something is up there. There's no doubt that there's something up there.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the photographs long enough, you can determine that, but. But his theory was that there was a resort up there on the backside that for the elite, the world elite, and funded through the banks. And it just makes me wonder, after this big ripoff that the banks pulled on us, on the American people, that, you know, the biggest ripoff in history, it just makes you wonder what these people are really doing and where they're really going.
You know, I saw that on YouTube with that resort on the backside of the moon. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
People ought to be outraged about that, if that's the truth. We don't know if it's true, but just thought I'd point that out. If that's true, then people ought to really revolt against that, because that'd be a total... Oh, God, the corruption is just unbelievable. But.
Yeah, but these people at the top who are corrupt actually do not care whether you're outraged or not. They really don't. They don't care what you think. They've proven that time and time and time again, and have done so recently, as a matter of fact. They simply do not care what we think.
So what do we do?
Oh, well, corruption eventually eats up the whole apple barrel. And so, you know, it will fall from the weight of its own corruption. And, you know, these people think they're smart. They think they've got it, you know, they've got it all worked out, and we don't matter. But when it's all over with, Ryan, the common people... as they refer to us, or as BP executives refer to us, the little people, that's who's going to be standing, and there's just going to be a whole lot of elite missing.
Well, now we brought up BP, I got to say, I hope BP spends all of its bank and all of its money on this, but I have a feeling that they're not... that they're going to get a slap on the wrist, and I just hope that doesn't happen. But I didn't mean to open that can of worms. I had another question, though, but, you know, I didn't have a chance to call in, and I listened to James on Friday, and I thought I'd ask you. You know, he's talked about the Quetzalcoatl, where the if we reach towards the end times, that there would appear a snake-like figure on the sun.
Yeah.
You know, arrangement.
Yeah.
Do you think if it came to that point in this planet's future that they would give us any notice, like tell us this is happening, or do you think it would just happen and surprise everybody? Or do you think there would be any advanced warning? Or
my understanding is that the events that are going to happen will just happen. Now, I could be wrong about that, but that's my understanding of it. However, for folks who pay attention to prophecies, whether it's in the Bible or prophecies in the Quran, prophecies in ancient Indian writings, or Native American prophecies, if you pay attention to prophecies, then the prophecies are themselves the warning.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if it happens, then the prophecies are the warning. Well, if James is listening, maybe you can call back. And I should have called in on Friday, but I just didn't have time to do it. It was a great show listening to all the callers calling, though.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Go ahead.
No, I just said, well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, well, I'll free up the line for the next guy, and good show tonight.
Thanks. All right, 623-444-5889. Back to the Flash message board from Australia. George writes, hello, Kevin. Thank you for this opportunity. I have had interactions with both benevolent and malevolent ETs. The malevolent ETs have an amazing ability to pose as beings of light and project an energy that I call the white light of conditional love. This energy is prevalent throughout the New Age movement. In doing so, they make you feel warm and fuzzy and therefore comfortable. In doing so, they win your trust and then, with your own cooperation, override your free will. It is an insidious deception, and not too many on this planet see through it. Wisdom to you all, George. George, I appreciate the comments. My question about that, though, would be the same as I asked earlier, and that is, how would we, mere mortals, be able to distinguish between what some people are calling demonic and what some people call angelic? How do we distinguish that? An angel shows up and visits your daughter, or a being shows up and visits your daughter. He's got a message for her, and when he leaves, she's pregnant. And now she has become somewhat of a social outcast. People are talking about her. Would you say that was an angel, or would you say that was not a cool thing to do, and, you know, maybe it was demonic? I think we humans have a perception problem, and the example that I just gave you is, of course, the story of Angel Gabriel showing up, talking with Mary, telling her that she's going to become pregnant and that the Father is going to be God. Then he goes away, and sure enough, shortly thereafter, it is discovered that Mary is pregnant, and she's not married. So how would you interpret that? If you were Mary's dad, would you say that was an angel or a demon? I know the Bible says it was an angel, but I'm not asking what does the Bible say. I'm saying, how would you as a human interpret that? We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is BYOT night. That means bring your own topic. And we'll talk about what's on your mind. It has to be in the realm of the strange and unexplained. You know, UFOs, ghosts, anomalies on Mars, anomalies on the moon, futuristic science, cryptozoology. Strange and unexplained. But as long as it's strange and unexplained, we are more than happy to talk about it. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. So if you need to call me toll-free, you can do so in the USA and Canada. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You do that by going to my website, scroll down, and you will see on the website, you'll see a link that says flash message. Use that, and you can send me your question or comment. Now, George from Australia had talked about, he sent us a flash message. He talks about There are both benevolent and malevolent ETs. He's met them both. And that the malevolent ones, the ones that are no good, disguise themselves, and they appear to be beings of light, and they make you feel warm and fuzzy. And I said, how would we, just mere mortals, be able to tell the difference between which ones are good and which ones are bad? If the bad ones, in fact, are making you feel warm and fuzzy, that feels pretty good, right? So how would you be able to tell the difference? Well, he has answered it this way. He says, in answer to your question, no, it is not cool, and the beings of the true light do not interfere with in our lives. They keep right back and allow our lives to take its course. This is unconditional love. If you truly love something, you'll set it free. Okay, then in that case, the beings of the true light. Okay, he says the beings of the true light step back and let you make your own decisions. There are cases of that. Maybe they're not angels. And maybe the angels that are in the Bible are not these beings of true light that he's talking about. Because there are cases of angels literally taking control of someone's actions. You know, for instance, read what happened to Ezekiel. And he fell down as though he were dead. He couldn't move. He couldn't speak. And the angel, as described in the Bible, I don't know if he waved his hand or if he blinked his eye, I don't know, but he raises Ezekiel to his feet and kind of brings him back to consciousness. All right, so he's interfering in his life. There's the story of Jonah. And Jonah was a prophet, and he was told to go to Nineveh and tell the people to repent, and he didn't go. He didn't like the people of Nineveh. His message was, if they didn't repent, they'd be destroyed, and he said, that's a good thing. World would be better without Ninevites, and he wouldn't go. A great storm came up, and he was on a ship, and he fell overboard, or he was thrown overboard. And a whale swallowed him, and then the whale vomited him up on the beach, and then he said, okay, I've had enough. Now, that's interfering in somebody's life. You have the story of the Apostle Paul, and he sees a bright light, and it knocks him to his feet. It knocks him from his feet to the ground, or from his donkey to the ground. He's blind. He hears a voice, and after that, he's completely changed. That's interfering with somebody's life. So maybe, and then I gave you the story, you know, about Gabriel coming to see Mary. And Mary, when that encounter was over, was an unwed mother. And so maybe the angels that we read about in the Bible are not the same as these beings of light that George talks about. Because he says that these beings of true light do not interfere. And these angels that we read about in the Bible are pretty much messing around with you a lot. They interfere a lot. They get things done by interfering with people's lives. So, I don't know. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe I am identifying in my mind angels as being those beings of light that George talks about. And in fact, they are not. So maybe that's the case. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. What's on your mind? It's BYOT night. I traveled a long way to get to you here tonight. Can you travel to your phone? 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. I said I would address the deal with the blue beams again and in a little bit more detail. On YouTube, you can find a video where Senator Inouye from Hawaii, years gone by, is making a speech in a hearing, and he talks about the fact that there is, in fact, a hidden government, a secret shadow government. And he says, and he's a senator, and he says they have their own military, they have their own Air Force, they have their own space program. Now, he says that, and he said that in the Senate. So it is just possible that many of the craft we see and we think, oh, well, that's ours. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's human, but belongs to that secret shadow government, and maybe that's what has the real U.S. military shaken up about it. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Well, hello, Brent from Wyoming. How are you doing?
Just fine. How are you doing?
Good.
Fast move, eh?
Actually, it was a fast move, but it had been planned for some weeks. But execution of it was very fast. But, you know, you have to go fast to get out of gravity.
Yeah. Just one real quick comment.
Mm-hmm.
An angel is a messenger.
Okay.
Whether the messenger message is good or evil is irrelevant. The angel is a messenger.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, but they also not only are messengers, they're messer-arounders too.
Yeah, that's true.
They interfere with people's lives if those stories in the Bible are true. I mean, you got to admit, that's kind of messing with somebody's life. You come talk to them and you walk away, and after that conversation, she's an unwed mother. That's kind of messing with somebody's life.
What the other part of it is that when the angel delivers their message, they are interfering in somebody's life because it's causing them to think of something they might not normally think about.
Uh-huh.
So, whether they think they're interfering or not, they are interfering.
So would that mean I'm an angel?
In a way.
In a way. You're quite serious about that.
What?
You're quite serious about that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You are delivering a message, and people who do not necessarily think about this subject... are listening to your radio, and you give them something to think about.
Okay. Well, I've been called a lot of things, and I can promise you, Brent, I haven't been called an angel before.
Well, you're an angel now.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Goodbye.
All right. Interesting call, huh? 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And, hey, especially if you're going to call me an angel, please give me a call. I've been called the spawn of Satan. I've been called the Antichrist. I've been called, the usual things, you know, idiot, liar, phony. I've been called those things. But angel, that's a little new for me. I wonder how many other angels wear a hat. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi, Kevin. Do you know about William Buhlmann?
You know, I know that name, and now I cannot remember why I know that name.
Yeah, okay. He's the guy that's been doing Out of Body and wrote a couple of books about that.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay. So one thing that he says, I bought one of his books, and what he says is out-of-body experiences can be misinterpreted to be like abduction experiences.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
So, just can't quite hear you. I'm gonna change location here. Like the idea is, a lot of the abduction and a lot of the conflict that we talk about, you know, good angels, bad angels, that kind of thing, may actually just come down to a misinterpretation when a person goes into out of body, and that's kind of what William Buhlman talks about.
Well, see, that's what I was getting at earlier. Let's say you have an angel that comes and visits John at Vancouver Island. And this angel tells you that you're going to be a great king. Well, that's a wonderful thing for you, and you view that angel as being a wonderful being. However, in order for you to become a great king, you have to conquer a lot of people, and that angel is going to help you conquer them. Now, for the people who get conquered, that's probably a demon. You see? I think it depends on which side of the battle axe you're standing as to whether you think it's an angel or if you think it's a demon. If you look at some of the things angels did in the Bible, well, it's a wonderful thing they did for the, quote, people of God, but for those it was done to, it's not so cool. For instance, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the people at Sodom and Gomorrah probably were not too pleased with the angels that showed up and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you might say, well, you know, they were sinful cities. They should have been destroyed. Yeah. But if you lived there, you wouldn't think so. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, this discussion that we've been having about whether ETs are good or whether they're bad, whether angels are good or whether it's demons, how do you tell the difference, is purely homoterocentric, meaning that it's purely from the standpoint of us. Apparently, I mean, you can see, obviously, I mean, let me give you another story that's in the Bible. You have, I believe it was David, King David. I believe that's who this happened to. But anyway, his troops were surrounded. There was 185,000 Assyrian troops out there ready to just slaughter David and his troops. And an angel in the nighttime passes through the Assyrian camp. And in the morning, there's 185,000 dead Assyrians. Now, whether you believe that's true or not is not the issue. The issue in this discussion is that an angel or a demon? Well, for David and his troops, that's an angel. For the Assyrians, I think they would say that's a demon. In other words, we can use different words. We can say, was that being benevolent or malevolent? Well, it depends on which side of the battle axe you're standing, you see. So, from a homoterocentric point of view, I don't think there's any way to tell. That maybe there is, but I haven't seen it. The only way I know of that you would be able to make a determination would be if you have a belief system, and if your belief system includes information that that being is good, then you side with that and you say it's good. Okay, so if you believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, then you accept that that was a good act, you see, and that was an angel. If your belief system is something other than the Bible, then you would look at that same being having just killed 185,000 people, and you would say, that's a bad being. So from a homoterocentric point of view, without a belief system, I don't think you can sort it out. You might, I don't know, but you would be, some would be saying, oh, well, this being that we had contact with is totally benevolent, doesn't do anything to interfere, doesn't harm us, totally benevolent. Okay, so you've made that determination, and yet there are people who have a different belief system that look at that same being and say that is a demon. And so I think the determining factor in, you know, this thing about are they benevolent or are they malevolent, I think the determining factor is your belief system. And, you know, your belief system will cause you to line up with certain of these ETs. And you're going to view them as benevolent. Someone else's belief system has them line up with a different set of ETs, and they believe them to be benevolent. As a result, each group in the different belief systems is believing that the beings they are in contact with are benevolent, and the beings in contact with the other group are malevolent. Now, I think there are probably people that would say that's too simplistic, and I would say yes, it is, but there's really not much more we can do than be simplistic about it because we don't have the answers. And so whatever understanding we have of it is going to be somewhat simplistic. But then, you know, we're just simplistic sort of folks anyway. But I, you know, I got to tell you, for me, I don't care if you think it's an angel and it shows up in my house and it grabs me and it takes me where I don't want to go. It makes me do what I don't want to do. We've got a problem. And if I ever get a chance to swing on this thing, I'm going to swing on it. And if I ever get a chance to hit it, I'm going to hit it. I don't like being forced to do what I don't want to do. So I would interpret it. You may say, well, it was an angel. Well, if he's forcing me to do something and there's any possible way, I'm going to bloody his nose. I don't like being forced. And throughout the Bible, you see lots of beings called angels that are really messing with people's lives. And usually, though, it's, you know, there's a good outcome for those people. But it's just my nature. If you force me into something, then you and I have a problem. And I don't care if you are an angel. You and I have a problem. And as Ricky Ricardo used to say, you got some splaining to do. Forcing someone to do something against their will does not square with my understanding of freedom, and doesn't square with my understanding of free will. Maybe I'm wrong. I was one time, you know. I marked it on the calendar. And it is possible for me to be wrong. And maybe I am. But that's the way I see it. But I go back to and underscore this again. Any way we look at extraterrestrials is going to be homoterra-centric. It's going to be us-oriented. There's no possibility of us looking at and understanding extraterrestrials from any other perspective or point of view than the one we have, which is we're on this Earth. This Earth is in this solar system. This solar system is in this galaxy. And we're looking from the smallest to the largest. That being, I'm looking from me out to the universe. There's no way for me to actually look from the universe back at me. And so, our view of ET, regardless of who we are and regardless of what we think, our view of ET is going to be homoterra-centric. I think it's an inadequate view. And I think because we have, if we recognize that it is an inadequate view and a simplistic view, then I think we've taken the first step toward opening ourselves to the right things happening that are supposed to happen. As long as we understand that our perspective, it's ours, we've got it. There's no possibility we can have a different perspective. But as long as we understand that our perspective is at best inadequate, if we understand that, then we're open to more information. We're open to broader understanding, and perhaps we will, and perhaps we will not, fully understand this phenomena at some point in the future. Maybe we will, but if we don't, that's okay. But it does open us to understanding more. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me, just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long everybody.